Well, if you have your Bibles today, and if you're a soldier of Christ, or if you're a soldier of Christ, pull out your sword, open them up to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. There's an amazing scripture I want you to see as we celebrate this Veterans Day Sunday, beginning with verse 16. I read a story in an issue of Focus on the Family magazine, where author Stu Weber illustrated the need for a Christian buddy to help us survive through the tough times. In 1967, a grizzled old non-com, that's short for non-commissioned officer, such as a sergeant or a corporal, at Fort Benning, Georgia, he taught some soul-supporting impact of mutual mentoring to a formation of ramrod straight troops who were going into a never-go-into-battle-alone type of scenario. During that time, 1967, the war in Vietnam was building to its peak, and it was a one-stop place for these Army officers to go through in the U.S. Army Ranger School at Fort Benning. And this steely-eyed veteran sergeant told these new recruits for the next 9 weeks, he's going to test their abilities as they've never been tested before. He says, many of you won't make the grade, so I just want to let you know that. It's going to be tough. He said, it's going to be tough. Turned out he was right. Out of 267 who were in formation that day, only 110 of them finished out the 9 weeks. And the story read that the soldier could still hear his raspy voice cutting through the morning humidity like a serrated blade. He said, we're here to save your lives, he preached. And we're going to see it that you overcome all of your natural fears, especially of height and water. And we're going to show you just how much incredible stress the human mind and body can endure. And when we're finished with you, we're going to make you the United States Army's best. And you'll not only be able to survive in combat, but you're going to be able to accomplish your mission of what you're set out to do. And before he dismissed the formation, the hardened Army Ranger Sergeant announced our first assignment. He says, we prepared ourselves for something really tough, like running 10 miles in battle gear or maybe rappelling down a sheer cliff. So the sergeant's first order kind of caught us off guard. He told us to find a buddy. Some of us would have preferred to a cliff or something to rappel down to, but he told us to find a buddy. He said, this is your first step, he growled. He said, you need to find yourself a ranger buddy and stick together and never leave each other alone. You'll encourage each other, and if necessary, you'll carry each other. And it was the Army's way of saying, difficult assignments require a friend. Together is better, and when you walk through a difficult path, you need someone to help you accomplish the course ahead through those paths. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, says this. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths, ask for the good way is, and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. Ask for the old paths, and the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. He said, ask for the well-traveled path. If you want peace, if you want to build a family that stands, if you want to build a long-lasting marriage, if you want to build a happy home, a successful life, ask for the old paths that are well proven and tried and worn. Not a new way for a new day. Not letting culture redefine your values of who you are or what your family is all about. But when you find the old path that's been tried and proven, not this new stuff that's going around necessarily, that just pops up out of nowhere, and what people are saying, such as do it this way and that way, and they go sometimes contrary to the word. But if you find the old path, you're going to find direction that's going to be confident and that will be ordering your steps in the old path that is in the Word that has been tried and proven. And it will take you to a place that you'll be able to find peace and rest for your souls and your family, and they'll have a foundation that'll stand true. And I believe we need a revival of the old paths, don't you? Amen? Because we're living in a time when people are forsaking the truth of God's Word. And their homes are being decimated and destroyed because they do not seek the truth and wisdom of God's Word. You've got to find the old paths and study the principles that made men and women successful in the Bible, is what Jeremiah is saying here. How did they handle it? How did Joseph in the Old Testament handle temptation? What did Paul, the Apostle Paul, do? What kind of path did he walk in? And the men and women of the Bible, study the epistles of the New Testament. Hebrews 13:7 says, Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. I want to speak to you today specifically about the treasure of a family and the treasure about your walk with God. Two precious monuments in our lives. And everybody here has a treasure, has two treasures that you may not be aware of. One is your family and the other is your walk with God. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see it or not, but there's a movie out called The Monuments Men. George Clooney, he directed it, and if you haven't had a chance to see it, you should, because it's worth your time. But it's a movie that was written from a book, and it's a true story, actually, that happened in World War II. But it's when a group of men from 13 nations were assembled together by the Allied forces for one purpose during the war. And they were to go into these cities and nations that had been attacked by the Germans. And when the Germans would wipe out these cities, many times they would steal these treasures that were in the cities. They would steal the paintings and the icons, and they would tear down the bridges, and they would decimate the cathedrals in the various cities, and they would destroy them. And it was the job of these monuments men to go in and try to find these treasures. And the monuments men weren't necessarily combat warriors, but they were museum directors, and they were artists, and they were people with a background about knowing the treasures and the history of a nation. And they were to save as much of the culture of Europe as they could during the time of war. And they were to make people aware and how essential it was to protect their history and to keep the culture of their past alive. To save it, to preserve it, and to protect future generations. And most of the people that volunteered who would go into a combat zone with the expertise in art and to preserve, then knowing the architecture, they would go in and they would try to preserve these monuments that were in that city, because the monuments in that particular history or that particular town spoke of the history of their people and that culture. They were commissioned to go in these combat zones to preserve those treasures, because therein lied a ruthless army, the Nazis. And that army was invading those cities, trying to steal those treasures. And likewise, there are treasures that we've had for many years in our church and in our homes that we must keep and preserve for future generations. The treasure of our family, the treasure of our marriage, and the treasure of our faith by putting God first. And there's a real thief, an enemy, and we are in a combat zone, and there's a war taking place, and a real enemy who wants to steal the treasure of our family and in our home and in our faith in God. And there are treasures that are just as real as those paintings that are in Europe and the sculptures and the buildings that those monuments men tried to protect. And there are treasures that are significant to our past, and that are significant to our families, and that are just as significant to us who we are as a family, and to us who we are as a church, and to who you are. And the enemy knows that, and he wants to steal, because those things play an important role in our families. and then the foundation and the culture of who you are. So it's important. So important that our military believes in enough to fight for it and to die for it in America. And it's interesting that they point out in the book that Hitler, as a young boy, he wanted to go to school in Vienna at the Academy of Fine Arts. And he dreamed of being an artist, a famous artist. But to Hitler's disappointment, he was rejected and not accepted. And he believed that Jews made up the community board and that they wouldn't allow him to be part of this fine arts school. And it's amazing that he got in his mind that Jews were the reason that his dream was crushed. And, you know, if you don't check your bitterness sometimes, if you don't check the thing that starts out so small in your life, it can get so much out of control. And so he took that hatred out on the Jewish people. And years later, when he became the Germany's Führer, he became a tool of destruction and death. And he took it out on the Jewish people. And not only was he trying to build his own empire, but they point out in the book, The Monuments Men, that he wanted to develop a supreme race and a supreme nation. And so what Hitler wanted to do was he wanted to adopt his own hometown of Linz, Germany, and he wanted to turn it into a museum for himself and for the people of Germany. He wanted to have his own little Italy, to create his own little Italy and build a museum for himself and for the people of Germany. And so what he would do is he would go into these nations and he would plunder their artwork and steal the things that were connected to their culture and the particular history of those people. And he would steal the Michelangelo paintings and the Da Vinci things and all the nations that he would invade and the treasures, he would steal them out. And his dream was to build a beautiful city in Linz, Germany. And all that would house those great treasures as a monument to the greatness of Hitler and to the German people. So when you understand that particular war and what was taking place there, and also understand that we fight in a spiritual battle, a battle that's very much for the same thing, that we have an enemy that's also trying to steal, kill, and destroy, I want you to understand that there's art and treasure in your homes. That there's a great treasure in our families. Something to be valued and appreciated and to be greatly guarded. Because when you have a family that loves God and that prays to God and that's intact and comes to church, it's a rare commodity. And the enemy knows that. Families that spend time together and families that pray together and families that come to church and worship together. It's a treasure. It's a monument. And there's an evil force that comes to try to take that apart, to steal the treasure out of your home and a valuable treasure that God has given you. And I'm here today to challenge you to become a monument man and a monument woman. They would send these monument men into the city, and their job was to guard the treasure while the battle was going on. And so to be a monument man or monument woman, it means that you're going to have to strive to be thankful, to be committed to righteousness in the 21st century, to shun the seducer, to resist the home-wrecking spirit, to not play around with this or that and to put those things away. It's time to guard the treasures that you have, to be careful, to go and avoid places that are questionable, to keep your home guarded because you have to guard the treasure that's in your home. And the monuments man or monuments woman has to get the things in their mind in focus. And if you want a good family, you want to invest in your family. And that means you have to take time with your children. Play games with them. Take them to the ball games if you want them to play. If you're a dad, you have to, and if you're a dad and have girls, you have to let them paint your fingernails at least once in your lifetime. If you can't handle that, let them play salon with you. Let them take duct tape and remove the hair off your back. I did that. It's not so bad. At least this too shall pass. If you have boys, take them out hunting or fishing. Even if you have to shoot 10 cans when you're hunting, just let them shoot something. You've got treasures. And we know the enemy wants to steal what life is really all about. Because life is really all about the treasures that we have. And it's hard to balance that. But I'm here to saying and telling you this morning that God has to remind us what's really valuable in our lives and what's really important, because we're living in a battlefield and the enemy wants to steal the treasures of our lives, spending time with our children, spending time with our wives, spending time with our families. And it's going to take monument men and monument women who are attentive to our families to protect that time and to protect those valuables, who are watching over the treasures of our home and who are here to guard and preserve them. So if you want us to be pastors of this church, to keep sin and iniquity and scandal out of it, the same attitude has to be about your home, because it'll show up in your home before it'll ever show up in the church. Because as the home goes, so the church goes. And so we have to guard. And so we have to preserve to be this valuable treasure of our marriages and of our family. It's what our veterans fought for. That's what makes America great. That's what our military still guards today. That's why they believe this country is worth dying for. And the enemy, even as the enemy crouches closer and closer to our shores today, Lord, help us be the art of monument men and monument women to our families, to guard the treasures of our marriage and our families. Because marriage is a treasure, our families are a treasure, our church is a treasure, and it just doesn't stay safe on its own. You have to guard it. The monuments men treasure, or the monuments men responsibility, had a threefold responsibility according to the book and movie. Number one, the monuments men would go in, and the first responsibility was to record and report the condition of the treasure after the battle. Second thing he would do would supervise emergency repair work if damage had been done to the treasure. And thirdly, he would ensure that no further injury would happen to the treasure, even if it was damaged after the battle. What a lesson to learn for monument men and monument women concerning our families after the battle. And every marriage and every family goes through battles. Sometimes the family can become a combat zone, right? Brothers fighting against brothers, sister and sister, husband and wife. It's inevitable. And the family's going to have squabbles. But the monument man and monument woman goes in and reports the damage. Hopefully not on Facebook. But they look and find the damage after the battle, and they make an assessment of it, and they repair the damage. And when the enemy tries to divide your family, but I don't know about you, about boys, but I know about when you raise girls, they fight all the time, just like two cats. And it's even worse when you leave the church parking lot and trying to ward off claws coming from the back seat, especially after you leave a Holy Spirit service. And here I am, the leader of the church, and hollering in the back seat and hollering at the two girls like, you're crazy, you got a bunch of demons in you or something, and shut up and settle down. And all of a sudden, from the back seat, you hear this comment, "Well, Mr. Holy Man," and you have to go through this whole thing, and once you assess the damage, and in some cases cause a little bit of damage to your little treasures, then you've got to fix and restore. Supervise some emergency repair work, and even if you have to isolate your little ones a little bit, sometime for necessary, ensure that no further damage is done to your treasures. Diversions are the greatest tool in protecting your little monuments. I remember when they began making CD players in vehicles. I thought that was the greatest innovation in years. Because when you have two sisters in the back seat with two totally opposite personalities, idleness is definitely a tool of the enemy. And, people think that church people's life is so beautiful. That's how we like to present it anyway. You come to church, you know what I'm talking about. We come to church, we sing and worship and songs and praises. You have mom and dad and sweet little children. Truth is, that whole family's jacked up. Every single one of them. I mean, every family, their family comes to church, half of them have their feelings hurt. The other half is angry at each other. I mean, that's real life. That's what it's about. I mean, I know, I've talked to some of y'all. I mean, some of y'all during the communion are sitting down, you don't take part in communion. I'm like, how come? He's like, well, I'm mad at my husband today. He did this. Or my kids, they just made me mad today. But that's what real life's about. I mean, it's just families. That's what real family is. And, you know, you become a monuments man or monuments woman, and you learn to strengthen that which remains, is what you do. And you say, you know what? We're not a perfect family, but I want to fix whatever the battle leaves, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to repair it. And we're a real family, and we're going to learn to love one another, and when it's all said and done, we're going to strengthen that which remains. Because some of you have been through some real rough and tough stuff. I've been through some real rough and tough stuff. Kish and I have been through some real rough and tough stuff. But we stand strong. And I'm here today to tell you to strengthen that which remains. Don't be content to let hell take the treasure out of your marriage and out of your home. Preserve what the veterans fought for that has made America this great nation. Strengthen that which remains. Determine that you're a monuments man or a monuments woman and say, I want to see God repair everything that the enemy has tried to steal. There's a part in the book, Monuments Man, where in the early stages, that the monuments men wouldn't get any respect from the grunt soldiers. Because the grunt soldiers, the ground soldiers, were fighting hand-to-hand bloody combat, and they just didn't understand who these monuments men were. For example, the Allied forces would go in and fight, and even though the Germans didn't really respect these sacred places, such as cathedrals, the Nazis would put snipers in these places near these cathedrals because they knew that the Americans were hesitant to bomb these places because they were trying to save them. And so many times after the battle, when the whole area would be just so decimated after a ground battle, it was the monuments men that would go in there and look for these historical monuments in the places that were identified to the people's culture and to try to preserve it for the future generations and how they became a people and who they were and what they were embracing. And the book tells the story, and this part isn't in the movie, but it's in the book, of how a particular battle took place in one of the villages. And one of the monuments men was named Lieutenant James Rorimar, and he's played by Matt Damon in the movie. And he was sent to this village, and he found a cathedral in the city that had been torn down, and this bulldozer from our military was cleaning up the rubble, and all that was left was this historical site. It was half of a wall. And this bulldozer was about to knock this wall over in the battle that the battle had destroyed, and it was the cathedral wall. As half of a wall, and as everything was knocked down except this wall, and Lieutenant Rorimar, Second Lieutenant Rorimar, stepped out in front of the bulldozer, and he said, stop. He said, I have orders from General Eisenhower himself that says you cannot destroy this wall because it's a monument and it's to be preserved. Well, the other general who was in charge, he came charging out, and he began to speak in a condescending way to this second lieutenant. And he said, this is stupid. He said, there's nothing here but a wall. We're just trying to do our job by cleaning out this rubble. You just need to get the blank out of the way. And the second lieutenant said, sir, he said, I've already taken pictures of this wall and I've already sent them personally to General Eisenhower. And he's going to know that this wall is being torn down. And he says, if you give the order, go ahead, but you have the authority here. And reluctantly, the general turned all mad, and he cussed out the lieutenant and walked off, and he gave the orders for the bulldozers to turn around and not tear the wall down. And you know, I heard a story about a pastor, who was preaching the funeral of a 17-year-old boy who was killed by a drunk driver. And the story perked my ear because my daughter, Lauren, she was also hit by a drunk driver, but she was blessed with prevenient grace, and she survived. And it's odd because just about 3 weeks ago, about 5 miles on the same highway from the same place, a couple of young school teachers were hit in the same exact way she was hit, and they were killed instantly. So this story kind of perked my ear up. But In this story, the pastor,
The pastor said that the mother was sitting on the front row along with the brother and sister of the boy that was killed. And so here's this mother. So here's this mother of the who's lost this 17-year-old son. And she's got these two other children. And that day the pastor preached a message about Rizpah in the Old Testament. I don't know if you've ever heard about Rizpah. Rizpah was the mistress or concubine of Saul. And she had three sons that was hung by the neck when the Gibeonites invaded the Israelites. And most people, if they saw their children hung by the neck dead, they would have given up hope. But Rizpah was an amazing woman. Because what she did was she spread out a cloth and she laid on a rock where her sons hung for 3 months. She would not leave the site. And she fought the night creatures off. She got a stick and she fought the buzzards and the vultures off. And word reached the king that she did this for 3 months. She stayed there with her dying and dead children, with their decaying bodies hanging from the ropes. But she still fought for the carcasses of her kids. And word reached the king. And King David said, cut them down and bury them where the kings are. Bury the kids where the kings are. And that day the preacher, he preached to that woman, he said, and those two children who were still alive with her on the front row, he said, fight for what's left. Fight for what's left. Sometimes when hell decimates your family and your marriage, sometimes things happen so bad that you recognize that they'll never be the same again. And it's so easy to let the bulldozer come and topple your marriage over and wipe out what's left and wipe out your family. But there's no hope that things will never be the same again. But the word of the Lord for you today is Revelation chapter 3 verse 2 that says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete yet in the sight of my God. And if you're a monuments man and if you're a monuments woman, you fight for what's left. And don't give up. You have to fight for what's left. Ask any soldier, ask any veteran in battle when one of their friends, one of their own buddies, gets shot in the heat of battle, they keep fighting. They don't give up. They don't quit. They strengthen the things that remain. They fight for what's left. And I'm saying today to you, you have to fight for what's left. You may look at your family and see a lot of holes in your walls. You may see a lot of regrets. You may see a lot of things even that you would have done differently. But I'm saying that you've got to do and you've got to fight what's left and strengthen the things that remain. Maybe all that you see is a war-torn wall of your home and what your family used to be. But you have to fight for what's left. And there's something that you can rebuild. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls that the enemy had torn down. But you have to fight for what's left and strengthen the things that remain. And you can say to the bulldozers of divorce, the bulldozers of unforgiveness, the bulldozers of bitterness, that enough is enough. And you got to stand strong and say to the bulldozers that want to decimate your family, I have orders from the king that this wall is going to keep on standing. And you have a choice that you can let the bulldozer wipe your family off the face of this earth. Or you can stand in front of it and say in your spirit, or you get to, if you want to say it out loud, you can. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to fight for what's left. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain. Stop the bulldozers. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, do not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Fight for what's left.
and strengthen the things that remain. Nehemiah rebuilt those walls, and those walls are still standing today. They're still there. It takes work to rebuild a family, and things are going to happen. And you can either let the enemy destroy your home and say, it's never going to be the same. My precious children will never be the same as they once were when they were young. Or you can say, I'm going to fight for what's left. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to take what's left and I'm going to rebuild from it. Because God's going to help me fight for my family. It's going to take work. We're going to pray again. We're going to talk again. We're going to forgive again. We're going to love again. We're going to reach out again. We're going to go to dinner again. We're going to have fun again. And I'm preaching to myself up here as well, folks. We're going to reach out again and say to the night creatures, you can't have my family. I'm going to beat them off like a stick. Say to the demons, you can't have my family. Say to the spiritual Hitlers, you're not stealing the treasures of my family. We still belong to Jesus. Say to the God, I will take my home and I'm going to build of what's left and I'm going to strengthen the things that remain. Because when you go through a loss, the miracle is not in what you've lost. The miracle is in what you've got left. And so today, maybe you've lost some of the treasure. Maybe you lost your walk with God. If David did, bulldozer of sin, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Maybe it's come in and wiped you out. Maybe your walk with God. But you could stop the bulldozer and save what's left. You got a lot of life ahead of you. Maybe you've messed up and maybe something's happened. But you don't have to stay in that place. God can give you victory today. And you can leave this place knowing that your home may not be perfect, but and maybe everybody may not think your home's perfect, but I'm going to build off that thing. We still have each other. We might just have a war-torn wall left, but it's something to build off of. It may be burnt, it may be scorched, may have some bullet holes in it, but we're going to put some building blocks on that thing, and we're going to build from it. God can do some great and mighty things in it. Some of you here aren't even talking to even some of your family members. Your mom, your own son, daughters. Because they broke your heart. And you can just let it go and you can just let it build in the bulldozer. And keep wiping out more and more and more. Or you can say, stop. I need to get a hold of myself. I'm going to fight for what's left. I'm a monuments man. I'm a monuments woman. And this little wall may not look like much, but I'm going to save what I got left. Because when God gets through with it, it's going to be a house again. So stand up with me this morning. With our heads bowed, as our worship team plays, I sense this morning there's been some battles going on today. And some of you have been through some painful episodes and our experiences in life, and God wants you to fight. And today, as we hear His call, He wants us to wake up to those things that we have left. Don't wait sometimes to just when you have a little wall left. If you need help with your battle today, we're here to help you. As a church, as a family, we stand united with each other. Stand and pray with each other, to build each other up with encouragement. That's why we're here as a church. If you'd like us to pray with you today, we're here with you to pray. We're here with you to stand with encouragement. We're here to stand strong with you, to love you, to protect you. Maybe, you know, you just need to stand strong and determined for yourself. I'm not giving up. Is yours. Today, if you need to receive Christ in your life, maybe you're still chained and you need that freedom. Today may be a victory day for you. And you've decided, I need Christ in my life. I've been putting it off for years and I just need to become free. Today you can become free from the blood of the Lamb and ask to be cleansed, purified. Whatever the choice is today, just slip out of the aisle and come on down. We'd love to help you do whatever you want. As our prayer counselors come forward and stand here today for you, we would love to do as we sing today.
Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift a voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift a voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Raise it your name up, raise it your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Raise it your name up, raise it your name up. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. The enemy is been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. The enemy is down defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy is been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. I triumph. Shout out to God with a voice I praise. Shout out to God with a voice I triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice I triumph. Shout out to God with a voice I praise. Shout out to God with a voice I triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice I triumph. Shout out to God with a voice I praise. Shout out to God with a voice I triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
In your heart to fight for what's left. Fight for what's left. Never let the enemy steal the treasures of your walk with God or of the family that you have. Fight for what's left. Strengthen that which remains. Amen. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for who you are and what you are in our lives. Thank you for the great soldiers that you've given our nation today. Bless them. Heal them from their wounds that they have physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. We ask for healing among them. Thank you for them. What they've done to us, for us, and are still doing for us today in protecting us. Father, we ask protection in our homes spiritually. That you would protect us and give us the tools we need, the faith that we need to stand strong against the enemy as he comes against us. Help us to realize the preciousness of our treasure within our homes and to stand strong against it. Realize the valuable treasures we have. We love you, Father. Praise your holy name. In your name we ask these things. In Jesus' name. All the people said, amen. God bless you guys and have a wonderful week. Don't forget to tell a veteran this week, thank you and how much you appreciate it.